I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Glad you could make it today. A fall day here in Boston with highs in the 70s, reaching the 80s tomorrow. Makes me almost wish I hadn't removed the air conditioner. Just bought it this year. The next time I need a new one, it'll probably function a lot better for the planet. That's because of an agreement made this past weekend in the Rwandan capital, Kigali. Let me explain. Most of the world's air conditioners and refrigerators and other cooling devices currently rely on coolants that are really bad for the climate. These coolants are HFCs, or hydrofluorocarbons, and when they get into the air, they're super powerful greenhouse gases. But a few days ago at that meeting in Kigali, representatives from just about every country in the world agreed to phase those chemicals out. For the climate, it's a really big deal.
There's estimates out there that the reduction in global average temperature from this agreement will be somewhere near half a degree Celsius.
That's Nihar Shah of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California. Half a degree Celsius might not sound like much, but it could make a huge difference. And Shah says the climate may even get a twofer in the coolant deal.
There's also potentially further reduction from improvements in efficiency, which may go even further.
In other words, new cooling units will likely use a lot less electricity, and that means less pollution from burning coal and natural gas. So it's potentially a big win for the future of the planet. But there are concerns, mostly about the cost of switching to new cooling technologies and what that will mean for people around the world who might not be able to afford them. That's a big worry in India, where tens of millions of people are only now able to afford the old school air conditioning technology that's causing so many environmental problems. Reporter Chavi Sachdev is our eyes and ears in Mumbai. I asked her what the biggest concerns are for people there.
There are two things. One is the affordability, and two is the phasing in of the R&D. There's not enough, supposedly, research to just come in, swoop in, and just replace all the old air conditioners with new technology. This does exist. We do have more environmentally friendly coolants for refrigerators as well as air conditioners and cars available in India, but they are not that easily accessible. A normal air conditioner costs something like $300. That's the starting price, and that's pretty steep. A middle-class family may have to put aside money or pay in monthly installments to afford that. But the one air conditioner I found that has the best coolant, which has no global warming potential or ozone depletion potential, costs $1,500. I can't afford that. That's more than my monthly rent.
How big is the air conditioner market in India, Chavi? I mean, are we making a wrong assumption here that everybody wants AC?
So it's definitely aspirational. You know, we live in the tropics. It's very, very hot. But it's always been unaffordable for a vast majority of our population. And we have frequent power cuts outside the city. So for lots of people, it's a liability. We had 10 million units sold in 2015. But that's like 6% of our population. That's not a huge number.
So what would you say the impact would be on, like, the middle class? I mean, maybe this is the first time they can afford an air conditioner. If the price goes up, are they priced out of the market?
They will be. But again, I don't think that's going to happen for another 12 years. So, you know, go out and buy with impunity.
Whatever you want in the years until then, that's what you're saying?
Yes.
So that sounds like it could have a different kind of impact.
Yeah, people might start stockpiling air conditioners for all you know.
And it won't be much help to reverse climate change, will it?
Not in the present scenario. Of course, we're hopeful that they will start phasing this in sooner. India has seemed quite willing to compromise on their original start date. The base date was even further out. So maybe all our accomplished scientists will come back and really make this technology available. A mass production will happen and everybody will be able to afford clean, green air conditioners soon.
I mean, that sounds kind of utopian, but are Indians in a position to innovate this technology on their home turf?
I would love to say yes, but you know, Dr. Apte, whom I spoke to earlier, she actually said it would be so nice if all the researchers and scientists that we've sent over to the U.S. would come back and help us deal with this problem. So I assume she was a little pessimistic about home turf yielding good results so far.
So I'm curious, Chavi, in a tropical climate where a lot of people don't buy air conditioners, how do they deal with the heat?
So if you're not in a humid place, now I live in Mumbai, which is super humid. If you're not in a humid place, we have these very low energy consuming, very cost effective water coolers, which essentially run on these old principles. You just blow air over a small pool of water and you're set. It's really great. You can even put fragrant grass in there. It smells amazing. My grandparents' house used to smell so fragrant.
And no impact on climate change.
No, well, not much impact, little electricity. And another thing I do this, is we soak our bed sheets in some water and the water evaporates at night and it keeps you cool. So you cover yourself with it, not sleep on it.
Right. I wish I'd known that when I was in India. Chavi, thanks very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure, Marco.
Reporter Chavi Sachdev there in Mumbai. You heard Chavi mention the hope that some of the scientists who've left India to work overseas will come back and help the country solve its air conditioning challenge. Well, Nihar Shah, we heard from him earlier, is actually one of the scientists. He got his engineering degree in Mumbai, but he doesn't work in India. Still, he may be able to pull an oar from afar. That's because Shah heads up research on new heating and cooling technologies at the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab in California. And he's pretty certain that air conditioning will remain affordable in places like India, despite the phase-out of the current generation of refrigerants.
A study that we did showed that the cost of the refrigerant in India is about 1% of the total life cycle cost. So if you take that into account, even if the cost of the refrigerant increases, it doesn't necessarily price the air conditioner out of the reach of a middle-class consumer. And of course, a lot of the developed countries will go first. So they'll develop the technology and hopefully bring the cost down for everybody.
So this is one of those moments we call a technological pivot point. Concerns about environmental impacts have pushed out old technologies, but now we've got concerns about access and affordability of the new technologies. Kind of been through this before on car emissions and even the previous generation of coolant technology. What do you expect to see as an outcome from this move on ACs?
Well, I think historically the human species has responded to these moments with bursts of creativity and innovation. And so I expect that the brightest people around the world will get together and really focus on the problem and try and get some more useful technology that can solve this problem online. And it's already happening. You know, some of these new refrigerants are already in place in some sectors, and I expect that trend to continue as well as the cost to come down.
So what are some of the new air conditioning technologies coming along?
Well, there's a couple of refrigerants online already. And then in addition, there's other kinds of technologies that are, I would say, non-compressor using technologies that could be used as well. So I think it's a combination of things that will be available in the future.
I've heard about a personal cooling device that you could even wear around your wrist. Are some of these technologies still kind of in the science lab phase?
Yeah, I would agree that the personal coolant that you refer to probably is in that phase. Some of these technologies are in the lab, but when I'm talking about sort of the more mainstream things that people are going to be using, are already being sold in India today at cost competitive prices today.
So, Nihar, 100 years down the road, how do you think people will be cooling themselves all over the planet?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think, you know, traditional technologies have been used historically. I think evaporative cooling and, you know, painting roofs white, planting more trees. There's so many other ways that we have had to cool ourselves. I think those things are never going to go out of fashion. And certainly there will be other technologies that you and I can't imagine that are on their way, that the brightest, you know, young engineers and scientists are going to be thinking up. So I'm optimistic for the future of the human species. I think we're very ingenious and innovative. So I think we'll definitely think up something.
Nihar Shah of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California speaking with us via Skype from Beijing. Thanks very much, Nihar.
Thank you.